This episode brought to you by Failure. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Screen Test. I am Chaz, and with me, as always, is my co-host, the man who once thought pilot season is when you went hunting on an airplane, Aaron Milton.
Honestly, I just kind of recently kind of understood pilots. Mm. So you say that like as like you're mocking me in a joking manner, but there is some seriousness behind that. I thought it was crazy that sometimes people filmed pilots like months or years before they even, and they just air those episodes like they're normal.
And then the second episode, everything's different.
Everything's different. different actors and stuff that didn't know they were actually going to be on the show. Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, man. Pilot season, it's called a pilot because it gets your show off the ground.
That can't be the reason.
There's no possible way that's the reason.
You've made that up and you've kind of stuck with that as like a legitimate reason, but I don't think that's true.
One of my least favorite things is that the first episode of all shows is called Pilot or The Pilot. At least name it something.
Yeah, I think that's actually true. They just kind of name it whatever. One of my all-time favorite pilots, just because of how much it actually ends up changing, is
Sully.
The Office.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, yeah. The cast is like 20 more people in the first episode, and then about 10 for the first season, but you don't even notice it.
That's not even my favorite part. My favorite part is looking at Michael Scott, who is bald.
Yep.
Who just straight up is losing his hair. Steve Carell was losing his hair, and then magically has hair later on. But that first season, it is so noticeably bad.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he got hair plugs or something like that. But every time, you can immediately tell you're looking at season one, which I think was only like 8 episodes anyway.
Yeah.
Because he's very thin hair.
One of my favorite things I've seen recently is somebody posted about The Office, I want to be such a good boss that my hair grows back. That's 100% The Office.
Yep. Very true.
Goes to what's-his-face's point in Always Sunny for Max transformation. He said, everybody always gets better looking in TV shows. That's not real life. So he gained a bunch of weight. And then he looked like freaking Brad Pitt in Fight Club. So
He's that was always like the joke about It's Always Sunny. I think specifically Rob McElhenney said that he decided to get just really fat because he thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
And it just is because... just all of a sudden the season starts and he was like 40, 50 pounds heavier. Just huge.
Yeah.
And then the next season it's completely gone. And then he gets incredibly ripped. But yeah, that is pretty good. I do like that.
All right. So we're talking pilot season. We're talking failure. How about some shows that just didn't quite make it, Aaron? I'm asking you like this wasn't your idea for an episode to begin with. So I assume you're on board.
I like that we mentioned The Office and It's Always Sunny, so we're going to talk about the complete opposites. my thinking was, because every once in a while, and this especially happens just with trashy TV, my wife likes to watch shows that I don't watch them, but if I walk through the room and she's watching them, I'm left scratching my head wondering, how did this get made?
Yeah.
Like, how did somebody greenlight this?
Yep.
And they're... We're not even focused on this list today of shows that are failures. These aren't even game show ideas. Mm-mm. Like, these are sitcom ideas.
I've got two reality shows for you.
But I'm going to guess, if you were to go strictly on game shows or reality shows, I bet you there are hundreds.
We could do a whole, not just episode, but like podcast series on that.
Oh, easily. Easily. But you've got some absolute gems on this list. So, yeah, let's talk about some failed TV shows and why they failed.
Well, let's start where every episode of everything should always start. Kanye West. This man yes. is an enigma. He's definitely his own man. And he had two shows, actually, that have been canceled before they even aired, I do believe. The first was, I could not find a name, but Kanye West's version of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So, to be clear, this obviously all happened well before Kanye became the Kanye we all know today.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say love, because I don't think that that's accurate anymore. But there was a time when a studio or a network was willing to give Kanye a lot of money to go make content. I can't in my wildest dreams, though. Because even Kanye at his like most liked was still a wacko.
Still Kanye. He's not Larry David.
I mean, yes. And because even if you go back, like go back to him stealing the microphone from Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Or the very famous George Bush doesn't care about black people. Like, he was always a bit of a weirdo character that I think everybody kind of... How do you take that guy and put him in, I would guess, comical but serious situations?
Yeah, so have you ever watched Curb?
Yes.
So it's very much a comedy based on real life with people playing them like versions of themselves. Yeah. With other actors playing completely different people. So if it's in that vein, I assume it's just the antics of Kanye. And one thing I found, a reason why it was canceled, was being too dark or hardcore. Keep in mind, this is HBO saying this. So it's not like TBS was saying, no, we're not going to pick this up. This is HBO who made, you know, prison brutality and dragons burning people alive and, you know, just... regular hardcore, not too hardcore, but when Kanye steps into the mix. One of the jokes, I put jokes in air quotes here, was him texting Make-A-Wish kids by saying, yo, what up to all you dying kids? I know y'all my dogs, and you know all dogs go to heaven. You gotta laugh out of you.
Mostly because I did not expect an all dogs go to heaven joke, but... That's just kind of jarring here. You know when you watch Saturday Night Live, one of the things that I do appreciate about Saturday Night Live, and even today, you can argue the cast was better then or better now. Mm-hmm. You can make that argument. But the core element to me, the thing that I love about Saturday Night Live, is the celebrity guests that they bring in that turn out to be very funny.
Mm-hmm.
For instance... And I'm going to date myself here just because if you're listening to this 5 years in the future, you'll be able to figure out when I was referencing this. Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Just off of a Super Bowl win, they get on there. I don't think of Travis Kelce as a very funny guy, but he had two skits on there that I was laughing a lot at. And I was like, that is very funny, and it's not a guy you expected to be very funny. Peyton Manning. Every time Peyton Manning goes on there, an athlete is incredibly funny. Has very good comedic timing. Very, very good in those sketch comedies. Kanye is not one of those guys.
No.
I've never laughed at anything Kanye's done or even alluded to. Never been somebody I would ever consider a funny person or comical person. Mm-hmm. Nothing about this show concept makes any sense.
No.
Like, at all.
No.
And that joke is a good example of why that's not funny. Which, of course, that was not written from him. That's somebody else. Wrote that joke, and that's still a bad joke.
You know what my favorite part about that joke is? This is a TV show, and the joke in question is a text message. So you would literally have to put words on a screen for people to read. It doesn't need to be a TV show. That doesn't need to be a joke. That's not hitting.
No, no. So that's a failed concept through and through. Again, it sounds like maybe a pilot was created, though, but it just never aired.
Yep. And along with that, he moved on from there to make a pilot for the show Alligator Boots, which was what he called the hip-hop Muppet Show. But it was not Muppets. It was puppets. I don't even know what to compare this to, really. I've not seen it, but I've seen little clips, and I've read stuff about it. I have nothing to compare this to. Other than, what was that Muppet murder movie with Melissa McCarthy. That was a lot of M's in that sentence.
Happy Town Murders.
Yeah. It kind of gives me those vibes.
Yeah, I could totally see that. That is also a great point. You can't really say Muppets. Muppets are specifically a Jim Henson thing. Everything else is puppets. That's a very good point. Sounds like a attempt at a kids show.
No, very much not. Like World
then
Police.
Then who is that for?
Who is any puppet thing for? That's not family friendly.
It at the very least is PG-13 at worst.
Yeah.
Once you start to dip into like the rated R, no, this is specifically made for adults, and it's not going to work. Yeah. Like there is no audience for that. Nobody was looking for that. So probably good that was a failed concept as well. I wonder if at that point, like studios were just kind of like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it was HBO still yet. So apparently he didn't want any other channels.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, right at one point, he's considered one of the most influential, smartest musicians out there. Again, this is all pre the Kanye we all know today.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could see why studios were taking a chance on him here. But what is also kind of interesting about this, though, is it sounds like he was given basically two shots to come up with something. And there's plenty of successful celebrity musicians that I don't know if they're even getting one shot.
That's true.
So somebody really wanted Kanye to succeed here.
I was trying to see if I could cross-reference. I can't. Let me see. I'm going to IMDb Alligator Boots and see if it's even on here.
I would venture a guess that you will not find anything on there. If all it ever had was a pilot.
Arlo the Alligator Boy?
No, that would not be it.
I found it. It is on IMDb. Writer or director, Tom Stern. So what is this guy known for? The person who is trying to create this is known for nothing. Freaked.
Just Alligator Boots.
Freaked, An American Werewolf in Paris, Adams, and Saul of the Mole Men. So, you know, some riveting stuff.
Some big hitters. Yes. Some big hitters, yeah.
Fun fact, the Happy Time Murders, I know we talked about this, but just a reminder, was directed by Brian Henson.
Yeah, yeah. It's got Henson fingerprints all over it.
You technically can call that Muppets, right?
That's a good point. Henson.
But no, he had nothing to do with Alligator Boots, so you cannot call those Muppets in my mind. All right, you want to talk about the next one? I'm excited for the next one.
I do.
Do you remember a world where the show Anchorman came onto the scene and just changed the way people looked at Will Ferrell, changed comedy, changed what middle schoolers said to each other in the hallways?
Did it?
It did one of those three things.
All right, so middle schoolers were definitely quoting some Anchorman.
Yes.
You were either quoting that or the Dave Chappelle Show.
That's true. Oh, yeah, those two things coincided,
didn't they? I mean, yeah, I can't count how many times I heard somebody doing a, what? Yeah. Like, all day long. That would just be in the backgrounds of your classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Anchorman. Yeah, it did. It did change the game a little bit for Will Ferrell.
Well, it almost changed the way we see television because off of the back of the success of Anchorman was a show, half comedy, half reality show, called Anchor Woman.
All right. You gotta help me out with this. So I saw this in your notes and I immediately was like, was this an Anchorman spinoff? And it looks like it kind of wanted to be, but what was just missing so many elements here. What do you mean by part reality?
Never in a million years would anyone guess what the premise of this show was. This show was about a WWE diva wrestler who wanted to be an anchor woman. So Fox set up this reality show to see if she had what it took to be an anchor woman for a legit news firm.
Okay, so But why? There's like promo pictures for this making it look like it's a, like it was a show, not a reality show, but like a sitcom.
Yeah. So I guess everyone except for her was, based on what I see, was an actor. So nothing was actually real. I want to say except for her, but at the same time, she's a WWE diva. So what's her name? Lauren Jones. Maybe that is real. That is not what I expected her name to be.
So this...
I was expecting like Phoenix or Shooting Star.
Yeah. Those are cool names, Chaz.
Lauren Jones.
I sure hope WWE doesn't steal Shooting Star from you.
In this corner, we have The Undertaker. And in this corner, we have Lauren Jones.
I mean, some of those guys have semi-regular names. And maybe that was her real name. That's not her stage name. Chaz, you ever think about that?
Oh,
that's
I hope
a possibility,
it was,
too.
I hope her real name is like something ridiculous. And her stage name was Lauren Jones.
So...
Dwayne Johnson is a stage name. His real name, his mom named him The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all got that backwards.
Yeah.
When he got into wrestling, they were like, your name is The Rock? That is perfect. He's like, no. I'd like to be known as Dwayne Jones. And they were like, no. Dwayne Johnson. You need to keep... Or Dwayne Johnson. Sorry, I got Lauren Jones stuck in my head.
Yeah. Her name is Firefly Powerlifter. Nope, I'm going to Lauren Jones.
I really like Lauren Jones. I think it really hits. Let me guess. I didn't remember when I looked this up. This was like a mid-2000s show idea, right?
Oh, 2007.
Like, this wasn't... Okay. There was like a hot minute, and this is perfect. There was like a hot minute when that was like a concept that was kind of like a big deal on reality TV. There was this show... And in retrospect, it's a stupid idea because only one person is kind of being tricked. But it was called the Joe Schmo Show.
There was that, and then there was Joe Millionaire. They loved that their was Joes one. Tricking people.
So it's basically one guy doesn't know he's on a show, and everybody else is an actor, but he thinks they're all at a reality show. So obviously everything's scripted. And it's all basically just to get this guy's reaction. And at the end, they give him money. Like, he ends up... winning the show and congratulations, and finds out everybody was an actor.
You this won the show because you were the only one not acting.
Yeah, basically. You know, all these wild things happen. People get injured and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They just get to watch this guy just kind of freak out the whole time. So kind of dumb, just because there's really no drama there other than you just get to watch somebody kind of freak out as the show's going along. But this Anchorwoman, if that's what that was, kind of reminds me of that, which was a concept that was kind of a big deal back in the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So is Will Ferrell in it or no?
No, absolutely not.
Ugh, so dumb.
That's what we're working with as far as Fox goes. What did Fox have in the 2000s? Any good shows?
Obviously, they were American Idol for a long time.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And that was probably their bread and butter. Their bread and butter was probably that and The Simpsons.
I just went to a website called realgood.com. I'm going to call them out. So it says a list of TV shows on Fox in the 2000s. The first four that are listed are Party Down, which was Showtime.
That was on Fox?
No, that was Showtime.
Oh, I was going to say. I was pretty sure that was a paid thing.
The Office, which was NBC. Survivor, which is CBS.
CBS.
And Parks and Rec, which is NBC.
So they didn't name a single one.
You're crushing it.
Wow.
24, Ally McBeal, Beverly Hills 90210, Family Guy.
Yeah, 24 was obviously, that was kind of a cultural thing.
Can you imagine? After 24, stay tuned in for Anchorwoman.
Family Guy. Anchorwoman, yeah. I would have watched it.
Oh, I love it. How about Cherish Your Youth? This is one from the list you sent me.
All right.
This needed to be a show. I need this.
If you Google this, I'm sorry, if you Bing this, nothing.
Nothing?
Crickets. There's nothing.
Did you try to Google it or did you just try to Bing it?
Nope. I went to Bing earlier because it's like, well, yeah, let's learn a little bit more about this. And I looked up Cherish Your Youth show.
Yeah.
And I didn't get anything.
Oh, nope. don't see
Bing's
it.
Got nothing.
Dang.
If it's not on Bing, it doesn't exist, just to be clear. So tell me about Cherish Your Youth.
Cherish Your Youth. Some of these, I'm like, how do I tell you about this without... I don't know how. It was a show that apparently was to describe the life of a teenager in the 80s, starring the two most relatable people who would ever walk this earth, in Crispin Glover and Nicolas Cage. I don't know which one of those two are weirder.
All right. Crispin Glover cannot be normal.
No.
Like, nothing he's ever done is normal. You could at least make an argument that at least Nicolas Cage can be normal.
Yeah, and he's kind of in on the his own joke type deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The images from the show are pretty great. Because mm-hmm. it's a very young Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. He grew into that nose, didn't he?
I mean, that was immediately a thing that popped into my head, was that scene.
Yeah, in the car.
Yes, with where he had a prosthetic nose on for no reason.
No reason.
And this kind of reminded me of like, oh, was this somehow related? Was this connected to this? Did this air at all? It looked like it had a decent amount of scenes on there.
I don't know if it ever aired. They filmed a pilot, yeah. But I don't see anywhere that it ever aired. It was, let me just put it in a genre for you so you know what we're talking about. So, describing the life of an 80s American teenager. There are a lot of genres you can go. Sketch comedy slash musical is probably not the way I would go. But that, first off, that's the way they decided to go, which, you know, be bold. Why not? Second, Nick Cage is singing in this. Where can I watch this? It's a musical with Nick Cage in it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, see, now that is the question right there. Has Nick Cage ever done a musical? Not that I can recall. So if a musical exists with Nicolas Cage, then yes, I obviously would be very interested in seeing that. So that's a big deal. That should be somewhere.
Oh, man. This looks fantastic.
Apparently Nicolas Cage, though, has scrubbed it from Bing.
Right? He does have that power.
You cannot Bing it. Yeah. He does not want you to see him singing. Yeah. Is there a show that currently exists that is a musical heavy show that's popular?
Musical heavy currently?
Glee is the last thing I could think of.
Yeah, Glee was there. There was the one show, somebody's Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist or whatever. That was fairly recently.
But I guess that was probably had some popularity, even though I think it was on CW?
Was it? Oh, I thought it was on the aforementioned Fox.
It could be. You could be right. I don't know why my brain is saying CW, but I could see it being on a different network as well. But it's always weird for me to hear of shows that are quote-unquote musicals, because I was like, in what era was that a thing? In what era was that really popular for a show to exist that
NBC,
was also heavily musical? NBC. That was my second guess. I was like, it might have been NBC, because I think I've seen it on Peacock. I think that's where that was popping into my brain a little bit. It is always funny to hear that this was like a musical concept, because you've got another show coming up that's a musical concept that was like, what? What era was this a thing?
Maybe the best thing ever. Currently, you have Schmigadoon on Apple TV. Recent.
That's a movie, though.
No, it's a series. Season two. Yeah, season two is about to come out.
I didn't know. I thought it was a movie on Apple TV.
Yeah. You guys subscribe to that Apple TV. Give them $5 a month to check it out.
I will not.
No. That's the last thing I would pay for is Schmigadoon.
Gallivant, I like the cast on it. Yeah. It's a good cast.
Gallivant, Smash, Glee. That's about it. High School Musical, the musical, the series. What is Disney Plus doing? High School Musical, the series.
You know what they're busy doing? Reviving an all-time classic in Willow into a TV show and then immediately canceling.
I was going to say, bad news, they just canceled
it. Yeah, already canceled it.
Speaking of reviving things, did you see that out of nowhere this week? And again, if you're listening to this in the future, you probably already know why. But as of right now, the Blockbuster website just all of a sudden updated and no one has said any reason as to why? Is Blockbuster is it coming back?
I hope so.
Me too.
A Friday night at Blockbuster? Woo!
Blockbuster has just been sitting there for 10 years watching until our the headlines start to say, are these streaming services going to make it? And right now, Blockbuster's like, it's our time. If you go to the website right now, it just kind of glows blue and says, we're rewinding your movie for you or something like that. So,
Chaz, do you currently in your house have a DVD or VCR plugged into any of your TVs?
So I am going to go out on a technicality and say yes.
I do not. I don't currently own.
It's a PlayStation 4.
All right. So on a technicality, you could you could do that right now. Yeah. I do not. And I would bet you it'd be the worst possible time for Blockbuster to come back because nobody owns those products anymore.
You'd have to sell Blu-ray players and DVD players in Blockbuster.
I don't even know. I know I'm probably wrong, but I would bet if I had to go buy a Blu-ray player right now, I would have to go to Walmart and not even Best Buy. Yeah. I don't even know if Best Buy has got them sitting in there.
That's fair. Not even Target.
No.
Amazon.
See, this you had to go to Amazon. This is
I also
Blockbuster, if you're coming back, I hope you got a good plan.
Back in the corner over there, I also have a record player. So,
well, records, for the first time ever, records just outsold CDs.
So, which, I mean...
Well, not the first time ever, but...
The first time ever. All right, let's talk... I have nothing more to say about Cherish Your Youth. You want to talk about the Bates Motel?
Yeah, because... What was the recent Bates... Wasn't it called Bates Motel?
It sure was.
So we've had a Bates Motel. You're talking about that one, right?
Absolutely not. I'm talking about another attempt that they had at Bates Motel, if I can find it in my notes here. But it was in the 80s, and it was picking up shortly after the movie of Bates Motel, where is it in my notes? Where, what's his face? What's the guy's name from Bates Motel?
Psycho.
Yeah, where Psycho went to prison. Jason Bateman is the only thing coming to my mind, and it wasn't Jason Bateman. I'm not going to put that on him. Anyways, old boy goes to prison, dies in prison, but leaves the hotel, or the motel, pardon me, to his cellmate. His cellmate gets out of prison, and then the series, Bates Motel, just follows his old cellmate, trying to successfully run a hotel.
There is a concept here that I think could work. There's like a concept there that I think makes sense. But what's funny about this is they clearly just wanted to make a show about a guy who runs a hotel.
Yep.
And they're like, well, that's not interesting enough. How do we make that interesting?
Yes.
Well, we'll make it the Bates Motel. And that's where it all falls apart. Because any intrigue... Anything that's interesting that's left from Psycho going into this is completely gone.
Norman.
Completely gone.
Norman Bates.
What? Norman Bates. Yeah. That's great.
Yes. So this show absolutely didn't know what it wanted to be because it had the whole horror genre building up to, this is the Bates Motel behind it. Then it's just this dude trying to successfully run a hotel. And then there's a girl contemplating suicide, but a bunch of ghosts from the hotel, but not of people that were murdered by Norman Bates, just random ghosts, because, why wouldn't they be there? Talk her out of killing herself. And then there is a killer in a... have you ever seen... And then there was Sean, the Boy Meets World episode where he's dressed up like a skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
There's someone dressed almost exactly like that, trying to kill people, and then they catch the murderer, or... Well, this is murder that didn't lead to death, so we decided in our last episode that this would-be murderer is, plot twist, the banker that wouldn't give this ex-con a loan in the beginning of the movie. So it's also Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, this is a... So they do want... It's not really about him just running a successful business. There is also a scary, quote-unquote, horror element to this.
Scooby-Doo horror, yes.
Scooby-Doo. I do assume at the end they pull the mask off.
Yes.
It's the banker.
Yes. And he said, I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for Norman Bates and his deceased mother. Yeah. And that's how, and roll credits. Jason Bateman is in the this, end. By the way. That's why I wanted to keep saying Jason Bateman, but it's Norman Bates.
Man. And we need a statement from Jason Bateman as to what the heck this was and why he decided to do it.
My three favorite credits for Jason Bateman is, one, now that I know he was in this. Two, Teen Wolf 2, but it's spelled T-O-O, so it's like Teen Wolf also. It's
not, nice.
Not a sequel. And he is a garbage man that kills ostriches in one episode of Scrubs. Scrubs has made has come up in this episode twice now, so it must be important. It's probably on the quiz.
Write that down, folks.
All right. You want to talk about dog police and or cows?
All right. So I don't know what cows is.
Okay.
But I obviously saw dog police and was blown away by the nightmare fuel I was looking at. These are men in full-blown dog costumes.
Yep.
But they're police.
They are detectives.
That is show.
That is show.
Like somebody pitched this somewhere.
Yeah. And this got picked up for at least a pilot.
This is... I didn't see exactly when this was made, but
1990.
It looks early 90s, late 80s.
It's 1990 on the dot.
Okay. So it has that feel of that type of show. Those dogs were the scariest looking things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's nightmare fuel.
I'm also going to guess this was a kid's show, or it was family friendly.
Yeah, it seems to be. I have no rating on it for what it was supposed to be, but all signs point to, you're sitting down with your family on a Wednesday night and you're watching dogs stop crime. They have been promoted. They're no longer police officers on a beat. They are detectives dressed like 1950s TV show, like noir TV show.
Yeah, cops. Full like trench coats.
Yeah, the hats.
Kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. And it's not like they're walking around on all fours. They're like 6'4".
They are humanoid dogs. And they're the only three humanoid dogs in this world. This is our world with just three humanoid dog cops.
Very, very freaky. And in a way, it reminds me a little bit of... Now, this is kind of a family favorite growing up of watching Dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a great show. We loved that show. But it was scary.
Yeah.
Like they're giant dinosaur people.
And they live in a dinosaur world, though. It's not like they were dinosaurs
that
in
our
That
is
world.
True. That is true. But there was always a darkness and kind of scariness to it, but it was made for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If I walked by one of these freaky-looking dog people, like I'd be kind of messed up a little bit because they're not cool. Like they're scary-looking. It's worth looking up if you haven't looked up. I don't know what cows is. What is cows?
Well, let me just say before we move on that this was not a comedy. This was a police procedural.
Oh, this was dead serious. So this was Law and Order SVU with dog people. Got it.
And it also co-starred Jeremy Piven as a cop and Adam Sandler as a troubled youth.
Yeah, yeah. Adam Sandler looking pretty young in there. I'm going to guess this is pre-SNL days?
Oh, yeah. Has to be,
so
right?
This was him trying to just, cut his teeth out there somewhere, and he somehow got on Dog Police before SNL.
So for cows, think
was it just called cows?
Just called cows. Think the same situation where it's our world. There's just a humanoid cow family for some reason, and put it in the vein of Married with Children.
What? Serious in tone?
But just cows. No. Like sitcom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that also sounds very freaky. I don't like it. And I don't...
Picture of them.
I don't understand how this even gets to a conceptual stage. Like, somebody approved money for this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was like, I think I could see this being successful, but there is no world where this is successful. There is none.
No, they filmed more than one episode.
It's beyond me how this ends up happening. And yet here we are. We've got cows and dog police.
Okay. What if two people are in a room, let's just say like you and I, and one of them's an executive, one of them's pitching an idea, and one of them says, listen, what if we take a cop procedural? We're not going to put live, like humanoid dogs in it. Don't worry about that. It's regular
that's stupid.
People. Yeah, that's stupid. What we're going to do is we're going to take regular people. We're going to deal with every issue that's in every other police procedural. Some pretty serious stuff in some circumstances, but all the cops are going to be dancing to the beat the entire episode. How do you feel about that?
I mean, my question is, so what does the song sound like with the domestic abuse episode? I'm just kind of curious how you pull that one off.
Think theme song to Wheel of Fortune.
So when I looked up an image for the show, so this is Cop Rock.
Cop Rock.
Which also, I hate to say it, that's a lazy name writing.
Yeah.
In fact, even Dog Police and Cows is very, so far we've gotten to the stage of just very lazy name writing.
Yeah.
Is Cop Rock really the best thing that you could come up with? I don't know.
Copra.
I'm not a creative person, but I bet if you gave me 10 minutes, I could come up with a better name for that. I go back to my original question. In what instance does a show like this actually exist? And any type of musical show seems to be relatively like short-lived. It exists for a period of time, but then it is gone, and it's not like anything needs to fill its place. There was no replacement for Glee. Nobody was scrambling to make the next one, and that was successful in its time. So why did anybody think Cop Rock was going to make sense? Chaz, why do you look completely shocked right now?
Because I just looked up who did the music to Cop Rock.
Who?
I can't think of his name. I have to look him up. I heard his voice.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wow, dang it. What's the guy who sings the Toy Story theme song? I want to say Paul Newman. That's not it.
No, but Randy Newman.
Randy Newman. Randy Newman did the music for Cop Rock.
Okay, now I've got to hear the music. Now I got to hear the music.
It's so fantastic.
What is great about Randy Newman is how controversial his music is.
Oh yeah.
I did not know this about this because you just assume he's the Toy Story guy,
right?
Writes kind of cute little fun songs, and then you listen to some of his music.
Yeah.
Back in like the '70s, yeah. And it's like, I think you'd be canceled saying this stuff. Like you would not live today. Like you were not a musician today making music like this. Kind of crazy. So now it makes me wonder. All right, I was just joking about taking serious subject matter and turning it into a musical, like domestic abuse. But now I'm like, well, wait, Randy Newman, maybe.
Randy Newman. Oh, man, the logo.
There is a weird element where these where almost looked like, if you were to tell me these police officers were in a music video for, like, Queen.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, I could see
the Village People.
Or the Village People. That's good, too. Yeah.
The logo. In the title episode that plays when you look it up on IMDb is the words Cop Rock in red with a quarter note in the middle separating cop and rock and a revolver.
Yeah.
It's so
nice. Pretty awesome. Names.
Boom. Oh, man, this is fantastic. The full description, if you want to know, of Cop Rock is the musical adventures of a police force. That's it. That's what I had to describe the show
musical off of. Adventures? What?
Episode 4. So you're talking about, okay, this is, they're dancing to the beat. This is a musical. What type of issues are they dealing with? Episode 4, LaRusso is sent to jail for murder. Let's sing about it. Not attempted. Yeah. That murder led to death.
Oh, led to death. That's a big time murder then.
Oh, man. All right. Let's talk about Where's Rodney? Because why did I not watch this show growing up?
So I know. Name all the popular Rodneys.
Rod Stewart's name is probably Rodney.
Yes, but that doesn't count. He's a Rod. He's not a Rodney.
It's Rodney Dangerfield.
It's Rodney Dangerfield is literally the only Rodney, right?
I don't know. I'm going to Google famous Rodneys. Not Bing it.
I can't. You got to Bing. You got to Bing it. How many famous Rodneys are there? Because outside of... I that's it. It's Rodney Dangerfield. So it's a show about... Also, he's up there. Rodney Dangerfield is up there as somebody that is so iconically 90s and 80s.
Yeah.
Like, he just existed in this period of time.
That's true.
And then, poof. Is Rodney Dangerfield alive still?
No. He died in 2004.
I didn't even know that.
I don't know why I did.
But just so iconically there. So what is the point of the show? What is the point of Where's Rodney?
Well,
I know you're looking up other famous Rodneys right now, but.
Oh, I gave up. That, I mean, it was a list of people I've never heard of before.
That doesn't count.
So the premise of Where's Rodney is a child who is also named Rodney is obsessed with the stand-up comedian Rodney Dangerfield. So he's playing himself to the point where he develops a superpower where he can wish Rodney Dangerfield to appear wherever he is. So it's a series of this child deciding, you know what this situation needs? A little bit of no respect. And just materializing Rodney Dangerfield. And the best part is, in the opening, Rodney Dangerfield starts to disappear. He's having a nice dinner with what I assume is his wife. He starts to disappear, and his wife's like, all right, here's this again. He just disappears and just appears in this young child's bedroom.
What I love about this, too, like, I think my favorite part about this, and it's just making me chuckle thinking about it, just imagine, like, if you were writing down a list of superpowers you could potentially just get one day, and you were like, what is the worst, like, waste of a superpower of all time? Summoning Rodney Dangerfield at any point in time is close to the lowest. Like, this poor kid's superpowers. He has one superpower, and it's summoning this guy. I would also love it if it was just, like the kid hated Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it was like, he can't stand this guy. And this guy just constantly keeps popping up out of nowhere. And it's just like, it's a curse. It's not like a power.
Yeah.
His curse is Rodney Dangerfield has to appear at random times throughout his life. Again, great concept for a show. I'd be cool if they brought this back.
Yeah.
Who is today's equivalent of Rodney? See, like, I would love this if it was like, where's Pauly? And it's Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore. Let's do it. Oh, man.
You know, like, I just developed some weird ability to just summon Pauly Shore wherever I want. I pick somebody real random in there.
I like it.
And let's make the show again. I think this is a concept that could work. We've got the technology. Let's make this one happen.
This show had Brecken Meyer in it. Do you know Brecken Meyer?
No.
He was famous for a hot minute for Rat Race and Road Trip and Clueless. I feel like he was on a law show fairly recently. And I'm probably going to mispronounce her name, but Salil Moon Fry, I think is how you pronounce her name. She's known as Punky Brewster.
Yes, she is. Yeah. Love some Punky Brewster.
Yeah, so they were pulling some big
names. A show that did get made.
Where's Rodney? Where's Rodney? It was a TV movie. They turned it into a movie because it did not get picked up as a series. All right. We're going to talk about one, and then I'm going to combine the last two for time. The one I want to talk to you about before we get into just the most insane thing ever is The Will, which is a show.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I know nothing about this one. I'm hoping this actually has... Was this a game show?
This was a reality show.
Okay, perfect. Yes. Tell me about it.
Where the head of a very wealthy family decided to make his family compete in obstacles in order to get written into his will.
Was this real?
Yes.
Well, it can't be real.
It was real, but it was canceled because people had some qualms with it. But it was an Arizona multimillionaire made his family complete in a series of challenges for the grand prize of getting in his will and inheriting his Kansas ranch before he died.
Why are people such whiners about this?
I don't know, but this would have been on CBS. Actually, it was on CBS. It went for 6 episodes.
Okay.
So we can
look this. I want to look this up.
Yeah, we can probably.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Yeah. So then what happens? Like, you cancel the show and then
nobody gets it? It goes to the state. CBS owns this
now. Like, that's crazy.
Let me see if I can. If I type in The Will, I'm not finding it on IMDb.
That's so vague.
Yes.
But I bet you this is one of those things that, like, just exists on a corner of YouTube, and you can watch it in 480p, all 6 episodes. When did this come out?
That's mid-2000s is all it gives me. 2005?
That was peak reality TV. Well, they were really trying some stuff.
I want this to be like Survivor, but with, like, a bunch of rich kids. I found it. Family members compete for Patriarch's prized Kansas ranch. So that's all they were playing for was the ranch. And it looks like everybody's only credited for one episode. So they made six, only aired one.
Oh, that's a bummer.
That's a bummer.
Because I would watch that. Like, that's a cool concept.
I don't have much to my name in my life, but I kind of want to make my kids compete for my stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Make them compete for your love while you're alive. Come on.
Yeah, I would do it very, like, Wipeout style.
Remember that show that predated Wipeout that was just, I don't even know where it was from, but it was from an Asian country and Americans just dubbed over it, and it basically was a more brutal version of Wipeout?
Yeah, the original name of the show, I think, was, like, Takashi's Castle.
Mm.
Man, I was just watching this, like, not that long ago. Like, 6 months ago, I kind of introduced it to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
There was a... Obviously, the English dub over is all fake. And some of those jokes were a little bit probably too adult. So I was like, shouldn't watch this. But yeah, that show was great. And that's what I'd want. Because Wipeout, the water was blue and clean.
Yeah.
But in that show.
It's straight mud.
It was mud. It looked very unsafe.
Yes.
Minimal padding on things. So people were absolutely getting hurt here. Yeah. And that is exactly how I want this competition. You want my very comfortable 100 square foot office back here when I die?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're going to have to humiliate yourself.
On national television.
You know, get smashed into mud and stuff like that. That's how you win it.
All right. Let's talk about the man himself, the juice, O.J. Simpson. I have two shows for you for O.J. Simpson. One I know you know about. Let's talk about Frogmen. Have you heard of Frogmen?
No, this man had multiple opportunities for TV shows.
Oh yeah, he was in TV shows too.
Okay, that's a good point. That is true. He was a celebrity.
Yeah,
basically, even outside of sports.
He is a man that I can't even compare him to like Tom Brady now, because there is so many people who dislike Tom Brady like to a substantial point. O.J. Simpson was America's dude.
For a while there, yeah.
He was making...
And it's hard to think about that, especially us. We're in like a... We mostly grew up on a post-O.J. murder controversy.
Yeah.
So my mind always thinks about O.J. in that context.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, wasn't he in all the Naked Gun movies?
Yeah.
Like, he was obviously a very successful athlete.
Yeah.
And a successful actor.
He was going to be the headliner of a show called Frogmen, which would follow him as an ex-Navy SEAL that did water rescue missions. So like a very serious Baywatch. This was filming and about to go to air when everything went down. And this show was actually submitted for evidence but not used in his case because he allegedly stabbed his ex-wife. And for this show, he had to get extensive knife battle training. Evidence that went into the prosecution, but was not used. And one of his co-stars went with him to a place to buy a knife, which is apparently traced back to where the knife was purchased that killed Nicole Brown Simpson.
Wow.
Yes.
So all that to say... Frogmen never aired.
It was trashed, along with his other show, Juiced. Did you want to lay out Juiced for us? Because we're running out of time, and I know this was your favorite one on the list.
Well, the only thing that blew my mind about this is Juiced was a prank show.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put things into context. Now, this came out... If I remember correctly, this came out post-murder, right?
I don't know. Let me see if I can find a date for Juiced. 2006.
Yeah. So well past. So that is important to keep in mind. It's one thing when you look at this, like when you look at something like Frogmen and you say, oh, that's crazy. Why would they do that? Well, that was pre-trial and all that stuff. Juiced, obviously he does not go to jail, but he is a pariah. Mm-hmm. Like he's not cast in movies. He's not doing... these types of things. And in fact, he kind of gets into this weird, like, sports memorabilia ring. He ends up going to jail for that.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually. So somebody deciding to make a prank show with a guy who was very much suspiciously attached to a murder, not convicted, doesn't seem like the best idea.
No.
It just doesn't seem like that is exactly the type of guy you want to put into a show like this. But also, again, keep in mind, when it was 2006, mm-hmm. prank shows were all over the place. Man. Punk'd was probably at its height.
Even with the name of this, you know that's what they're going for. Punk'd and Juiced.
Well, that was the only thing I could think of, mm-hmm. is they thought, I can't in a million years wonder why they picked O.J. Simpson mm-hmm. as the guy they want to lead this thing. But maybe that's it. Maybe you're like, okay, well, how do we separate ourselves? How do you generate attention on yourselves? We'll get one of the most controversial figures mm-hmm. out there to lead the show, and that's how you do it. Listen, it's crazy.
If the punchline, in quotes again, of every single one of these pranks isn't just him jumping out from behind a vending machine with a knife and seeing how people respond, I'm not interested.
Literally the punchline of every joke is OJ pretending to come at you and kill you. That is it. That is the punchline every single time. Yeah. You're right. That is the only way that show works. And then as they're freaking out, he's just yelling, You got juiced. And
which would not make me feel any better.
No, it would not.
It
does not make me feel good.
Oh, man.
What a concept.
If you could pick one of these shows to air right now, what would it be?
Oh.
And you can change them. Like, where's Rodney? Rodney Dangerfield, obviously no longer with us. You can make it Where's Polly. That's fine.
I mean the Where's Rodney concept, I think, could totally work. You just have to make some tweaks there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best way of doing this is making it somebody that you, like, hate.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that person there, and it's inopportune times. He just is up in your business.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's probably a world where you can kind of pull that off. But I say all that to say, no, if I were to revive one show just because for pure fascination, it would be Dog Police.
Dog Police.
I would want to see, and I want them to be all really tall.
Yeah.
I don't know why. In my head, I want these guys 6'5 or taller.
Mm.
With dog faces walking around solving crimes. Like, I want to see somebody boldly say, we're going to make a dead serious cop procedural show with freaky dog people. Yeah. There's something about that. I kind of want to say that. What about you?
I want to do The Wheel.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good show, but we got too many shows like that right now. I want, and you don't change a single freaking thing, casting or anything, Cherish Your Youth, but it's modern day Crispin Glover and modern day Nicolas Cage as teenagers.
That would also be brilliant. That would also be brilliant. And really a head scratcher. If that just suddenly popped up, like, no one would know what's happening. No one would know what was going on right there. And I think there'd be something beautiful about
that. Yeah. I don't know if an insurance company would approve you to hire Crispin Glover in today's world, but why not give it a try, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of insurance companies, because it's a great tying to this. This just reminds me, we talk about failed shows mm-hmm. all the time, and every once in a while, one of those types of shows makes it through.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when the caveman... That was a freaking insurance commercial. That.
Yeah.
Huh?
Nick Kroll was in that show.
Like, it blows my mind that a commercial got turned into a complete show about cavemen living in modern times. What a horrifically dumb idea. So every once in a while, one of these shows makes it in. Every once in a while, a Dog Police somehow turns into Cavemen, the TV show.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy.
It's fantastic. It ran for 15 episodes.
The fact that it made it to 15 episodes, like, they really wanted to, like, hold out here, you know, mm-hmm. hold on. There might be an audience here for this. There might be.
Oh, man. Well, with that, that's all I got.
See ya.